The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
We read today from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectations, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, here we gather at this third Sunday of Advent, the midpoint of the Advent season, also known as Gaudete Sunday. For Gaudete is rejoice, which we heard throughout those first readings. We heard from Prophet Zephaniah, "Shout for joy, sing joyfully, be glad, exult with your heart." Response Psalm tells us to cry out with joy and gladness. Second reading we heard, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." For today is the day to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks always and constantly. But how often people, when you see their face, they just look like sour-faced persimmons. There's no joy. If there's no joy in their heart, how's it ever going to make it to their face? But it's how appropriate that we, at this midpoint of the Advent season, meet John the Baptist. For our readings all the way through this week have been always talking somewhere around about John. In Luke, we heard frequently today where the crowds, the soldiers, the tax collectors are asking John, "What should we do?" For if we were to read further into Luke's gospel more continuously, we would learn that John the Baptist challenges the crowds who came to him, calling upon him to show evidence in their lives of their repentance. For repentance must be observable in one's actions, not just by one's words. By encouraging crowd to act similarly in accordance with their stations in life, John is teaching that each person has a role to play in God's salvation. It is the great mystery of our salvation that God permits us and asks for our human cooperation to complete his divine plan. Now, recently, at the end of the classes for the fall semester, there was a seminarian who was studying in Rome. He journeyed to the Holy Land on a pilgrimage. In Jerusalem, he asked around how he can get to Bethlehem. An old priest told him, "Go out to the desert. Keep on going till you reach the River Jordan. Really, you can't miss it. There you'll find a man standing knee-deep in river water, baptizing people from near and far. That will be John the Baptizer. You ask him for directions. If you want to go to Bethlehem, you've got to start there. There is no other way to get there." Now, the baptizer preaches only one sermon: repent, make straight your ways. His message is not candy-coated, not like sweet, soothing sugar plums of a Christmas carol. John shouts, "Repent!" His message is a hard one. We do not really want to hear that kind of a message. At least not one so clearly. So what are the ways in our life that need to be straightened out? How about those crooked, those rough areas? For John the Baptizer is a prophet then, as well as now. Now, prophets rarely tell us anything new. They tell us what we actually already know. We just don't want to be reminded about it. Prophets calls us to start living what we believe, to make straight our lives, and to start living it now. Well, to continue, that seminarian found John standing in the river and asked him how to get to Bethlehem. Old John came out of that river. Now, John had a piercing gaze. He gave that seminarian a real good looking over. He said, "Let me tell you something straight and clear about what happened in that town. What happened, what really happened, is nothing less than an invasion incurred. Not a violent one, mind you, less, but a quiet invasion of love. Yep, that's right. Down there in Bethlehem on that very night, God invaded the earth to establish his kingdom forever. Now that's the true meaning of Christmas." John testified, "However, there are many people who don't want to hear that. For you see, that means people would have to make a choice between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of worldly powers. And people would have to then choose where their loyalties lie. So I tell them," John continued, "when you make up your mind, then you come out here, and I'll tell you how to prepare for your journey to Bethlehem." Now, John the Baptist scrutinized that young seminarian real good, then asked him again if he wanted to travel that road to Bethlehem. The seminarian, with greater faith than he had ever felt before, said, "This Christmas, truly I want to go to Bethlehem. What should I do?" So John told him to travel this rough road, he must level out the mountain of the ego and pride. He must fill in the valleys of despair and anger, bitterness. He must make smooth the rough places of his life, and to rejoice, to give thanks. "Are you willing," asked the baptizer, "to forget what you have done for other people and to remember what other people have done for you? To ignore what the world owes you and to think, what do you owe the world? To put your rights in the background and your duties in the middle distance, and your chances to do a little bit more than your duty in the foreground. To see that men and women are just as real as you are and try to look behind their faces, look into their hearts, hearts hungry for hope. To own up to the fact that probably the only good reason for your existence is not what you're going to get out of life, but what are you going to give to life? Are you willing to do these things even for a day? Then you can go to Bethlehem." Again, John asked, "Are you willing to stoop down, to consider the needs and the desires of little children, to remember the weaknesses and loneliness of people growing old, to stop asking how much your friends love you or how many likes I have, and ask yourself whether you love them enough? Are you willing to do these things even for a day? Then you will find Bethlehem. Finally, are you willing to believe that love is the strongest thing in the world, stronger than hate, stronger than evil, stronger than death, and that the blessed life which began in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago is the image and the brightness of eternal love? If you are willing," said John, "then you can enter Bethlehem, for you have then made straight the ways of your life. You have prepared yourself for the kingdom of God." So today, John asks each of us, are you willing? Are you ready to travel to Bethlehem? For if you're willing, then you can continue along God's road to Bethlehem.